The Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated. It's a familiar story to us that early on the first day of the week, some women from Galilee went to the tomb where they had left Jesus. They came to the tomb early in the morning because they had been up all night, as people in grief often are, and because it is somehow easier to grieve at the gravesite. This is how Easter begins. Not like we do with some beautiful choir numbers and singing a rousing Easter song, but with some women with sad eyes and heavy hearts bringing spices to a tomb in order to keep Jesus' dead, decaying body from smelling bad. No, it isn't a pretty image. Death never is. But this was all they could do. Their dreams had died. They had expected so much. But all those hopes died on Good Friday. Dreams die for us too. Plants close. Someone else gets the promotion you thought was yours. Iconic structures like Notre Dame are devastated by fire. Arson is suspected when African American churches burn in our southern states. Troops deployed for many years in the Middle East and Afghanistan. But that does not end the cycle of violence and heated rhetoric between nations. Deadly cancer cells spread through your body in spite of the best and latest medical treatments. A relationship withers and dies. Or the envelope from the college of your choice contains not an acceptance, but a rejection letter. Or your closest friend moves away. Or as you turn to leave the gravesite, tears flood your eyes and your heart and your chest is so heavy it seems it will break. Yes, dreams die. Big dreams, little dreams. They die every day. The women on the way to the tomb, they figured that somehow they would muddle through and get on with their lives. But God had other plans. Because they found not an empty body, or they didn't, the stone that they worried how they were going to roll it away, they found that the stone had been rolled away, and when they went in, there was no body. Only two men with in dazzling clothes with an amazing message. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And suddenly everything has changed. Even their fondest dreams would have to die because God had something else in mind. Jesus had not returned to his earthly life. This was gone. His earthly life was dead. God had reached into the tomb and into history, lifting Jesus up to new life. And this is scary stuff. Not just for the women in those murky early morning hours between darkness and light, but also for us. Because in order to receive this new life that these women were just beginning to comprehend, we have to stop clinging to the old one. We have to stop looking for the living among the dead. That means we may have to stop obsessing over the right career move, or stop pressing the kids to be perfect, or stop hoping that well-remembered years here at St. John, that somehow magically that they will return. Or stop fantasizing about what the latest diet will do for our bodies. Or stop clinging to the hope that all our friends who have moved to other churches will return. Or stop trying to recreate the past. We do need to grieve. When a loved one dies, deep sadness is natural. It's normal. Yes, when a friend is no longer in worship with you every Sunday, the loss is real. When one spouse shows early signs of Alzheimer's disease and plans for the future must be altered, again, the loss of what you had dreamed is very real. It's okay to be sad. And Easter will not prevent losses in our lives. And really, that's good news, because losses are a part of life in this world. Easter is not a happy chapter in our ongoing effort to hold on to our dreams. Because Easter isn't the next thing according to our perception of things. Easter is the new thing that only God can give. And you can experience all that new stuff that God has in store for you only if you allow what needs to die to die. Then you will experience the Easter God has in mind for you. Not the Easter that is only an extension of your human dreams. Because new life, Easter life, it's a gift. It's not something you can work for. You know, this all became very real to me around Easter about 15 years ago. The fall before, my Uncle Paul, the youngest of my mother's siblings. He laid in a hospital bed in Illinois, wavering between life and death. He'd inherited my grandmother's diabetes, and it was serious for him. He had fought the infection in his foot for months, desperately trying to heal his infected foot, refusing to even talk about a possible amputation. He endured skin grafts and heavy doses of antibiotics, and the side effects of those antibiotics threatened his life. And the infection continued to spread up his leg. And when he finally consented to an amputation above the knee, he wavered between life and death for several days, while his body organs struggled to regain their normal functioning. He did survive that. And when we visited him at New Year's, he was at home getting around in a wheelchair. And it was in the spring that, in conversations with him and with my Aunt Lorraine, that we finally got the report that he had finished therapy with his prosthesis. And he was walking with just a cane. And so after Easter, we left after services, we drove to Illinois to visit him and Aunt Lorraine. And he was smiling and in good spirits. He delighted in showing me how he could take off his prosthesis and put it back on, and how he could use a piece of a plastic sheeting to slide from his wheelchair into a church pew. Now, he used a kitchen chair for that demonstration, but you get the point. I thought when we visited him that day that I knew what was yet to come, and I was right. Because before long, Uncle Paul found ways to use his artificial limb to amuse his preschool and elementary age grandchildren. And they would laugh and giggle, and they would enjoy each other immensely in ways that they nor Uncle Paul had even imagined a year before. Yes, before there can be a resurrection, something has to die. For my Uncle Paul, it was his dream that he could be healthy and keep his foot. But once that dream died, Uncle Paul was again free to devote himself to things that are eternal, like cherishing God and his family, doing what he could for mission work at his church, and John Deere tractors. He could laugh easily again, most of the time at himself, and enjoy all his days. And until he died from cancer about 8 years later, he was able to live fully alive because he'd already given God the life that he could not keep anyway. So don't be afraid to let dreams die, because our God who raised Jesus from the dead is waiting to surprise you, maybe with something that you haven't even dreamed. Amen.